You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.
Christabel, it is an absolute pleasure to have you here with us. Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm doing very well. My pleasure. My pleasure, too, to make this connection.
So I have a confession to make. I have come very new to your music. Cellophane Memories, your new album with David Lynch, is the first record of yours I've heard, and it has massively hooked me in.
I love that. I love that.
So I come with...
Can I ask you, is this style of music, even if it's that's a broad statement, is this something that already intrigued you, this world? Or is this music, is that why I'm presenting as an artist that you're interested in now because of this genre? Just kind of curious about that.
Well, I don't know what genre I would call it, to be honest. That's a question I'll turn back on you, I suppose.
Oh, like I know. Sure. Yeah. Are you turning that question on me? Because I will do my best to answer with the non-answer that I'm making up in the moment.
Well, no, we don't need to talk about genres. I'll tell you what got me. What got me was the voices, the sort of double, triple voicing effect. Which there is throughout the record. And it's really remarkable. I don't think I've heard something quite like that before. So where did it come from?
To start with the big questions, where did it come from? I mean, there's many ways to answer that. But I think what you're asking about is the more kind of technical side of things, or maybe the inspiration, but it's probably all the same answer as far as where we're going right now, which is the experimental editing of David Lynch. That's exactly how this came to be. It's like really just experimenting with no expectation. And kind of the more like, in a way, it's because it's very intentional, but in a way the intention is about releasing yourself from any expectation. So in a way, you know, all of this is only possible because it's like there was this quality of having no idea and no expectation of what was going to come from the experimentation. And then you're like, okay, let's see what happens. And you know, at first you're like, what is this? At first you're like confounded. And then you're like, well, but gosh, maybe this is actually quite something. And then maybe you go back for just a little, like you undulate. Like what really even is this? Because when you're doing something that's maybe a bit different, you kind of have to really check in with yourself. If you haven't heard it before, is there a reason you haven't heard it before? as you know, or maybe did we stumble on something, you know, quite unusual and remarkable, and maybe let's just let it sit for a moment and see how it congeals. And revisit, and maybe we've just got something that's quite special and unusual, or maybe it's absolute bullshit.
It's not. That is not. Also, I wouldn't use the word congeal because I feel congeal is sort of sounds slightly like negative in a way. Congeal, or I suppose blood congeals, doesn't it? But
that's interesting perspective. I love this because it's all about your, you know, these are simply words. Congeal to me, it's almost like when you've made this pie. I'm not a baker, but I've seen this probably represented in a television show. You bake something and then it takes a moment after the baking process to sit and let everything infuse, so that there's something about the after creation process where some magic happens that is essential. You know, it's like it just needs to, I guess, integrate into into whatever the environment is so that it can be, you know, in its most presentable state or its most delicious state, whatever that might be. So, okay. Zeal may not be your word, but you know what I'm getting at.
So do you, as a vocalist, do you, on these songs, do you have what you think of as the main vocal and other vocals working around it, or is there no main vocal? Is it like that's the separate lines?
Ben, What I will say, in the process of making music videos for this album, I've had to define what might be a lead vocal or a backup vocal. And frankly, it's different for every song. For some, there's, you know, but there was never an intentional lead vocal. There might have been a vocal that just through the process of experimental editing ended up being at the forefront, because part of his editing is also, you know, with volume and EQ and all of these things. Like, it's, you know, it's like a process that of discovery, really. So when the music, we found that the music has gone through its process of experimental editing, and it's done its after part of infusion into the environment, whatever that magic is. And then we look at it, and then we kind of not analyze it, but we allow it to really share with us what's happening. Because for a lot of this, it's like after it was in place, you couldn't really move things around without there being some fundamental shift in the essence of it. So it's like, you know, it was really lead vocal. That's yeah, your guess is as good as mine, which is a lead and which is the, you know, the compatible, you know, contrast that gives it this other dimension. I think in this case, it is all very intimately intertwined.
So this is interesting, because I came to the record and during a period where I've been listening to a lot of Stereolab. Are they a band you're familiar with?
Well, now I'm going to be on camera saying it, but no, I don't know. It's a band. It's a name I've heard of many times, but you know, there's only so many hours in the day, and you hadn't introduced it to me yet, Ben. So really, this is on you.
Well, let me tell you, they are also another band who doesn't have lead and backing vocals. It doesn't quite intertwine in the same way, but similar kind of thing.
Okay, well, that's great to know, because when I heard this, and it's not, I mean, I haven't had, even though I'm a musician, it's like I don't know that I have had tremendous exposure to music, because I'm a lot of times in the process of making it. So that's my excuse, at least. And I kind of, you know, it's really nice when you have people bringing this information to you, because there's so much out there. So I do love that you're now offering this, because I'd be curious to see what this music is associating for you. Like if that's the band that's kind of coming to mind in association with this, I'm curious.
Well, there's another association that I have. I suppose I'm quite interested to know what you make of it, because I'm not sure what you'll make of the term. It makes me think, and this is something I like a lot, of kind of...
I like this lead-in. What are we getting to, Ben?
Well, kind of quite gothic music, both with big G and small G.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Is that something you like, or?
I don't even know what that means exactly. I mean, I have my own associations when you say gothic music, but to me that's dramatic and layered and kind of like with a lot of theatrical flair, which is all the things I love, you know, and a darkness and, you know, creating this intense mood. Yes, gothic, I'll take it.
I'm talking of which, last year you recorded an album of Cure covers.
Yes, I did that, didn't I?
With Mark Collin. Yeah, I was going to ask about that, but why not now? Are you a big fan of The Cure? Do you have a favorite song?
You know, I this is another situation where this process of Mark presenting me singing an entire record of The Cure was a catalyst for me doing a deep dive into the catalog, into the canon, the library of The Cure. And then I was like, for whatever reason, I didn't have that intersection in my childhood. I didn't have a cool older brother or sister. I was kind of flailing on my own as an only child, you know. So I didn't know. I didn't really know the depth and breadth of The Cure's, you know, world until I was presented with the opportunity to make this record. And then it's like, yeah. I was scuba diving for a long time and it was great. And I felt like it was a masterclass in songwriting, I just kind of did my process of getting into every single song and doing my best to find my way from their perspective and then create my own perspective. But yeah, I grew to respect and appreciate The Cure immensely through that process.
I mean, coming back to your own music, you mentioned the videos for Cellophane Memories. Sublime Eternal Love is the first single, and it's got a brilliant video, as you might expect of David Lynch, which plays with the multiple vocal idea. Mm. Tell us about it.
Sure. Mm. This is the first music video that David and I have ever made together. And after a full album and a full EP, it was just so nice that stars aligned for this to happen this way. And the process of creating it was, you know, absolutely wonderful and very like intimate, low-key, and just a few people helping out and so enjoyable because David's a really enjoyable presence and very funny, you know, like as a person to interact with. The mood is always light, even if what we're endeavoring to capture is something, you know, quite, you know, in a state of reverence and a bit of a celestial quality or whatever, how one might describe it. But it was always fun. And it was like, okay, we need a music video. And David, you know, do you have any ideas? And he said, yeah. So then it kind of, it's all very, I would say unstructured and like has its own, I had no idea if the music video would happen. And it was like, almost like we just decided one night to do it. And it was, and then people came over and we, you know, and then we did it. But it's just kind of in the way of the record, it really has been a dictation from some other place. Like, we're just kind of like, okay, and now this is what's happening. And then also we activate to make it happen, but it's very unmanufactured and uncalculated, which is, you know, I think it's a new way to approach things from my perspective, as far as an album rollout, but it's also been really like opening presents and having these surprises, you know, because so much of it is how David feels inclined. You know, it's like, if there's not an idea for something, if there's not a genuine, pure desire, then it doesn't happen, because that's just the artist that he is. So you're kind of like, how is the wind blowing? You know, like, is the right scent wafting from the right direction? And maybe we'll have this thing that happens as a result. But you can't, you never know. And you don't even hope, because there's already so much there. You're just like, just kind of a delightful excitement when things happen.
I've mentioned I love the multiple vocals in the music. I love the video. I think as well, and I mean this in a good way, it might freak some people out at some point. Is that something you'd be happy about if people are like, okay, this creeped me out a bit?
You know, that's an interesting question, because I mean, it's like to get people to feel a little something, even if it's slightly uncomfortable. I'm again unattached, because if I was hoping for something that didn't, you know, create that feeling, I would be disappointed. And the truth is, it's like you're just curious. You know, if someone was creeped out, I'm like, wow, that's fascinating. Because to me, it's like a sacred, almost ceremonial, with a very kind of high frequency of love and intention. So, but to be creeped out by that, everybody has their reactions and maybe that's what, you know, they kind of want that in a way, because you kind of have to, you come at it with your lens, right? So if someone's creeped out and that's really not what they want, I'm sorry about that. But if they're creeped out and they're kind of cool with that, then fucking great. I don't know. Like, whatever my intention has, you know, no bearing on what I expect others to experience. So yeah, go for it.
Can you tell us about the origins of cellophane memories?
Well, the origins are like, in a way, you know, 25 years of creative collaboration with David and all of the different elements that we have. It's like all the treasure digging that we've done over that time that kind of allowed us to have this nice, let's call it a standard operating procedure that could really melt into not even a consciousness awareness, but is there, so that there's that ability to really be productive and at the same time be very ethereal in the process and almost conversational, which I think was imperative for how this album turned out as it did. It's like there wasn't structure or let's call it predeterminants or any words like that. It was like all of that had already been built into our foundation of you know, organized creation for all of structured all this, you know, many, you know, for decades now. So we got to like have that there kind of, but then this, a lot of freedom and liberation from that communication that we've done over time to do something quite different and unusual and in a different circumstance than we've ever found ourselves. So it was like, yeah, that's kind of the origin. I mean, I know that question could go many different directions, but I would say that's maybe a good origin story as well.
Because you've worked on music together, worked together on Twin Peaks: The Return, in which you starred as Tammy Preston. Is it very different working together on music than it is on film, on TV?
I mean, David's always David. He's just remarkably consistent. But yeah, it was different because Twin Peaks was this giant. Oh wow, I'm so popular right now. Twin Peaks was this set full of so many people, so many elements, you know, so organized to the minute, and all, and just like this, just giant production team and crew. And there's this, you know, level of like pressure, which is great, and level of like, you know, you need to perform and do your thing and, you know, get your marks and know your lines and all of this, you know, really a certain kind of activity. You have to be very, very present so that you, but then also, of course, lose yourself when the time is there to act, whatever that means, but in the process of making music with David, there's much more of an element of like being in the moment and whatever the moment calls for. And you know, there's not nine people waiting for you to activate over here so that this can get done and we can move on and everything's on a schedule. That kind of space of openness and ease and, you know, just kind of our conversation leading up to you know, the whatever take I'm about to do or whatever David's lyrics are about to be, that's just as important as, you know, the music itself. So yeah, different flow, but David is consistent in that he's just really lovely to be around and always in the captain's chair, but never overbearing, just, you know, holding it down.
So I have to confess, I haven't seen Twin Peaks: The Return. And that is something, but I don't actually think it's available in Spain, which is a disgrace.
That makes me sad. I feel like everyone should have access to The Return. It's really, I'm sure I'm biased, but it's really a very special show. It's a significant thing. And not because, you know, also for all the reasons that one would expect, but there were, and I haven't, you know, admittedly acted in anything else, frankly, but there were so many elements of synchronicity, like, that were kind of mind bending, that I feel like it this show had the support from different things, not just David or the production team or all of the elements that came together, but like something, an otherness that you can't buy for the biggest budget, and you can't conjure without certain things just happening in a way. And this creation of Twin Peaks: The Return was like teeming with these synchronicities. So I think that also brought a very special quality to the show. But I hope it finds you someday. I hope that you do get to see it someday.
I'm sure it will. I love the first two series, so I'm definitely... Can I ask, I was reading up about your family, and it sounds like you come from a fascinating background. Your father started a natural burial service, right?
Yes. Right now I'm in a home on Cemetery Lane.
Wow.
And my mother lives close by as well. And Cemetery Lane reaches our cemetery. And this is something my father bequeathed to me, this cemetery, in 2009 when he passed. And he was our first foray into natural burial. And we've been an exclusively green burial, natural burial cemetery ever since. And even though my mother and father divorced when I was very young, somehow it turned out that my mother's passion is also taking care of people at this moment. And she engraves the headstones. And we've got this as fanciful as a cemetery can get. That's what we're providing. It's so beautiful. It's really this lovely, thing to be sharing with people an alternative in America, in particular, to traditional burial that is full of chemicals and putting things in the earth that are not biodegradable, but furthermore, actually toxic. And this is just kind of how it's done for generations. It has its origins in the Civil War, but I think it's really beautiful when people find out that there's this other way to do it, which is putting the body in the ground, being buried next to a young tree and becoming part of its root system. And your final gesture is one that is in harmony with nature rather than, you know, doing something that, you know, the earth still has to deal with you. What if the earth can welcome you and you can contribute to her flourishing, which is what we're all about? And furthermore, the idea of home funerals and just softening the conversation around the end of life ritual and the burial part and encouraging people to figure out what music they want, what kind of party they want. You know, it's like in our Western society here in particular, there's a tremendous restriction around the conversation of death and dying, even though to everybody. And let me tell you, there's better ways to do it. You can get better at everything, including supporting your loved one as they're crossing over. Like, there's ways to make it absolutely as uplifting as it can be. And it's just a matter of information and education. And so I feel so, when my father first gave me the cemetery, I was like, what? I was so not into it. And over time, I've come to really just be so grateful that my awareness was expanded by this process and that I get to share something that's really meaningful to me with people.
And it inspired your album, We Dissolve, right?
It did We Dissolve is, I grew up in a recording studio. We did jingles, among other things, but there was this idea that We Dissolve was kind of like the long form jingle for the cemetery. Layer by layer, drop by drop, we dissolve. But, you know, but to present it in this kind of sultry way, like we're rebranding death and burial grounds over here in Lavernia, Texas. We're doing our best. But yeah, I think that's in my wiki that it was, and I don't know if those, I mean, who knows, but We Dissolve is definitely a nod to the idea of this graceful return to the earth. Whatever I can do to bring attention to this is really, you know, meaningful and fulfilling to me.
I'm sorry if this is a stupid question, but you inherited the burial service. Do you actually run it on a day-to-day basis? Or
my mother is the main point person. If you call Countryside Memorial Park right now, my mother answers. She's, she's also like, her voice is, she did voiceovers all of her life and also a singer. So it's like, hello, it's Sunny with Countryside Memorial Park. How may I help you? It's like, wait, am I? So she's doing the main work. And then when I'm here in Texas, I assist in the ways that I can. But for instance, you know, we've got death doulas, which is a burgeoning industry right now. It's like popping in Texas and hopefully other places. But so we bring in, let's say, I think in two Saturdays, we've got a group of death doulas that will do a simulation of a natural burial. So like literally right now, I'm looking at Lulabel, which is our... going to be our simulated corpse in a shroud, so that we can teach the women all about the process and lowering her into the ground and doing this whole thing. So we've got quite a scene over here, and my mother is the queen of the natural burial cemetery, and I'm charged with getting the word out in the ways that I can, and also I guess the cheerleader.
So this might sound like a stupid question, but I just sort of thought about it now. I can think of two musicians. One is Kelly Lee Owens, who's a Welsh musician. And one is, I think, Tanya Donnelly, who was once in Belly, or probably still is, I think, and Throwing Muses. And yeah. I think, and I might be getting it wrong here, but I think they both have trained or work as doulas as well.
And I love this.
Do you think there's some connection there with music? I mean, I know we're only talking about a couple of people and your connection as well, but you know.
Look, I don't know, but I think if it's coming to your mind to present it, then there's something to that. There's so many ways that messages get to us. So this is such a lovely conversation. And I would hope this is the case because, you know, for musicians, you know, I would say most artists have their passions that also feed their art and music, but there's such a fulfillment that comes from music and the creation of music. And, you know, it might be something that, you know, that's that kind of fulfillment is possible. And if something speaks to you to be a part of, or you feel a calling that's presenting a little bit of excitement, or some connection comes into your life that supports, you know, a desire then you're like, okay, you pay attention. And I love that there would be this connection with musicians or female musicians and, you know, a greater conversation around death process, death, end of life ritual, and dying, burial, because that's really what we need. And maybe there is simply a conversation that is building in the collective, and some musicians are also a part of it. That would be great, because I feel like this information is really, really important. After doing home funerals and feeling the difference, just the visceral, palpable difference in the process of your grieving, from caring for someone in your that you loved versus giving them away to a separate entity to handle, it's like it's night and day. So we're talking about some really deep issues, the issues around the grieving process and how beautiful it is to be maybe going back to a tradition that is, you know, that is the way that it's always been done, that we've been separated from, and, you know, sharing with people how significant this is. I think it's just tremendous. And if someone is being called to that specifically, like, ugh, I love it. Thank you for asking the question.
So you as you said, your mum is a singer, and I think it was her and your stepdad have a studio which did advertising jingles. What does your mum make of your music? I mean, what does your mum think of Cellophane Memories?
Sorry, gotta laugh. My mother, because she's the first person to hear, you know, she gets all of the sneak peeks. And she said, you know, Christabel, this is like listening to an abstract painting. And she really went through her own process with it, where, you know, I feel when I was like, you know, things are going really well, people are really loving the record. And she was like, really? but now it's like, you know, and it's great, because everyone's going to have their different feelings. And my mother is a certain demographic. She's very cultured and sophisticated, you know, educated, very intelligent, you know, but she's of an era, you know. It's like, so it's really neat to see how things work with different personalities and people, and my mother being so close to all of my other music, and her being a singer and a, you know, and a, all of the things. So it took her a minute. It wasn't like it wasn't like this thing where it was instantly like, oh, Christabel, you know, like, darling, I'm so proud of you. It was like, and she's honest. She's a very honest mother. She's not, she always gives it to me straight. But I tell you, my mother, you know, like my mother and my stepfather were fans of Eraserhead when I was growing up, and I was never allowed to see it. But my mother's very much of the personality that really resonates with David's work. And she's always appreciated his singular frequency that his particular antenna, you know, picks up. She's in it. She loves it. So this has been nice, because, you know, she's also the first to see the music videos. She's the first to see anything that's coming. So I get to bounce it off her initially, which is super fun. Because yeah, she's warmed up to it, Ben. But it wasn't like an instant connection, I would say. I don't know if she would admit that, you know, but that was my interpretation.
And the late Angelo Badalamenti's on the album as well, isn't he?
He is.
Please.
No. It's just, I think about it, I'm just already, I still am so moved that Angelo's a part of this.
Is that him playing guitar on You Know the Rest?
That's David. David's playing all the guitars. And David composed most of the music. There's two songs that Angelo did the music for, and David did the arrangements. And then there's several more that didn't go on the record that also Angelo did the music for, but weren't just appropriate in this body of music. But Yeah, for the most part, David did all the arrangements, most of the music, contributions from Angelo and from Dean Hurley.
So do you think those other songs will see the light of day sometime?
I think it depends on if there's interest, you know, like we're just seeing where this goes as much as anyone else. You know, we have no idea how it does seem to be a nice momentum happening for this music, but there was never any guarantee for that. I mean, you have no idea what's in store. Like it's, yeah. And we're at kind of even still just beginning. So far so good. And if there is, you know, if there's an interest, absolutely. You know, I've got them all. I have a little bit more engineering to do for those, but they're basically done.
Well, I hope so one day. The album is out August the 2nd, I believe.
Yes.
I was just looking at your website, I think, I noticed you have played Barcelona a few times.
Yes. Yeah. Sidecar, was that a name?
They call it Sidecar.
Okay. Sidecar.
It was quite funny.
We're supposed to clap. Yeah. Okay. Yes, Sidecar. And then I remember that one because my childhood crush lived in Barcelona and came to that show. But do you know where else I played in Barcelona?
I think it was La Dos, Apollo.
Okay, sure.
But, anyway, hoping you can come back soon at some point.
Me too. It's like if stars align, again, if there is interest for this music to be performed live, then I will go about figuring out how to do that.
Well, I certainly want to hear it live, that's for sure.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it. That's good. I like that. We'll see. I hope so.
Well, look, thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it. Congratulations again on the album, which I really enjoyed. It's been a sort of headphone listen of the past few weeks, which is...
Oh, I love that, Ben. I've been singing to you. That makes me really happy. I hope we continue our engagement.
Well, I hope so. But for the moment, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Can't wait for the album to come out and everyone can sort of hear what I've been hearing.
Yes, indeed. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye, Ben.